This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and you're listening to The Morning Run. It's time now for The Property Show. And today we're going to take a look at the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020. Here's Keith Kum speaking to a panel of experts to discuss the future of KL City Plan.
The Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020, that has been a hot topic, especially since the previous federal government administration seemed so evasive on gazetting it. And it has become even more so with the new Pakatan Harapan government. To shed some light on this week on The Property Show, we speak with Datuk Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, the chairman of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's KL chapter, and Malaysian Institute of Planners Advisory Council member Muhammad Jamil Ahmad. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Let's start with Tuan Jamil. Take us through the intentions behind the KL City Plan. What does it envision KL to be within that time period?
It's primarily a planning and development strategy framework and development control. It's not just for developers, but also for the public at large, like public amenities and such. It has been prepared with the vision of Kuala Lumpur as a sustainable city of world-class standing.
Now, it was initially drawn up in 2008, right? But what was the holdup? I mean, it's 10 years ago.
We are faced with an ever-changing world. You know, trends change, economics, global economy changes. So a lot of things have moved on. So while it was prepared in 2008, we had to accommodate whatever changes, that is due. So because of that, some of the assumption and some projection might be outdated. It's bounded by the Planning Act, which states that any changes must go through certain processes. Mm-hmm. So that process sometimes, personally, I think the form and content of the plans maybe need to have due changes and that.
Now, at least finally, Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad has said that, it is definitely going to be gazetted this year, but, this is 10 years in the future from 2008. What sort of sacrifices have been made? Is it too late?
Well, actually, a late plan is better than no plan at all. So I think from the MIP's point of view, we still support the gazettement of the Kuala Lumpur City Plan as soon as possible. However, any changes should be made public before gazettement. That is the view of MIP.
What about RERA's stand on this, Datuk Wan?
Well, as far as RERA is concerned, number one, we support the gazettement of this KL City Plan. But we do believe that this plan should not be rushed into because, this is a plan that was done 10 years ago. There has been a lot of changes that has, especially in terms of demographics, in terms of urbanization, so the challenges and pressures of urbanization has actually resulted in changes that needs to be incorporated into the plan. And I think it's also important to understand that, the gazettement of a plan is not something that happens immediately. It's like a very long process in terms of preparing the plan for gazettement. It takes about 4 years. Then the gazettement itself will take another 2 years because there's a lot of stakeholders involved, especially the hearings and so on. And so it has to go through that process so that at the end of the day, all stakeholders have given their inputs. Just to add on to what Jamil said about why it hasn't been gazetted since today, because I think since in the last 10 years, the changes has been very rapid.
Right.
The pressures of urbanization. In fact, today we've already got in KL, I think, 60-75% urbanization. So in that 10 years, a lot of things have happened. A lot of dynamics have changed, especially demographics. So that's why it took some time to actually going through the gazettement. But I think the FT minister has made his stand. It's going to be gazetted by the end of this year. But in our discussions with the minister and the ministry, we believe that the approach will be where there will be zones that what we would call white zones that will be left as it is to be replanned, whereas the rest can be exerted like public spaces, those areas that the housing areas that's already been approved and developed, those can actually go ahead. But we will propose these white zones like what was done in PJ, Section 13, so that becomes a special area plan that the authorities can actually look into specifically to incorporate any changes.
RERA represents property developers. Could you give us a sense of what the engagement is like with the Federal Territories Ministry now?
Well, I think the engagement is positive. We were worried initially that, this thing would just be bulldozed without any feedback from especially key stakeholders like us. But alhamdulillah, the minister and the ministry has been very open. Mm-hmm. We've had a discussion with them, I think, just a couple of weeks ago. It was very positive. The minister, YB Khalid, is very open. And then I think we should be looking at a more positive sort of, you know, output in terms of the gazettement of the KL. So the KL plan that is going to be gazetted at the end of the year is for the 2020 KL City plan. But next year, we'll be working together with the authorities to actually look at the 2020-2040 plan, which would actually be more, I think, in a sense, more robust, be more inclusive. And it will still take that amount of time for it to be prepared and gazetted.
So, Tuan Jamil, with the Malaysian Institute of Planners, what is the engagement like with the ministry in terms of having this plan gazetted? What have your inputs been?
Well, as the institute responsible for town planning, we do from time to time send memorandum, and we get engaged not just with the ministry but also with the regular agencies like Plan Malaysia, of course, DBKL. You know that it is very pertinent and important that a new plan, for example, now actually DBKL is actually almost finalizing their structure plan for 2040. So it's a two-level plan, you know, structure plan and local plan. Local plan are more detailed. So it has to look into the changes in technology, lifestyle, economy, you know, and it has to come up with a more flexible form. That's my personal view. Because around the world, see, there is that flexibility. You need to cope with changes. And then you have to make it easy enough without at the expense of public spaces, public amenities, which are already, or schools. And that. So the rest, like commercial, I think, is the planners should listen to whatever stakeholders, especially those in the development side, to ensure that, you know, the whole city is sustainable and balanced in terms of development. It's always about quality of life.
Right.
So you must have that balance. Too much property, then you get overhang. And then if you overhang, so how do we do? So you need to, like, you know, the options should be laid out. And we should review from time to time so that it becomes relevant. That's important.
So now, as Dato' Wan was mentioning just now, the next phase from 2020 to 2040 is coming up. What is your wish list?
From my experience as a town planner and looking at the overseas example, we see that actually a good plan from the planner's point of view is that a plan which rigorously, you know, do a lot of engagement with the public and all stakeholders, developers, landowners, activists, social activists, or, you know, those which have a stake in the city. The thing is that at the end, you must have quality of life, which is a balance in the normal balance, environment, social and economy, and it must remain relevant through the times. If you have a rigid plan, then it becomes redundant and, you know, becomes haywire. So you must have a plan that everybody feels is part of it.
What about from Reda's point of view, what's on your wish list?
I think on our wish list is, I think, to be heard. As developers, I think, one of the key stakeholders, I think we would like to be heard. You know, we subscribe to this new urban agenda that was adopted by the UN 2 years ago. And I think most developers are fully aware of it. And we would actually be participative in actually realizing that urban agenda. So I think moving forward for the next phase, which is between 2020-2040, authorities like DBKL would definitely implement the new urban agenda that was adopted by UN 2 years ago in Quito, I think. So for REDA as developers, our wish list is, number one, as I said, is we like to be heard. We represent members with wide ranges of interest. There are big developers, there are also SMEs in our fraternity, so to speak. So we would like the authority to actually listen to all of us in the industry, not just a specific or just special groups of people. You know, listen to everyone. And I think be fair, be mindful of the fact that one of the things that the new urban agenda is driving for is actually equity. That's also in terms of welfare. That's also in terms of poverty eradication, which I think developers share. We would actually be glad to actually contribute or participate in that sort of endeavor to actually create a city that is inclusive, that is environmentally friendly, where the public spaces are really spaces that, open spaces that where people can actually get together. And the built environment is well planned. I think the key word is it has to be well planned.
Because everybody at the end of the day benefits from it.
Everybody benefits. And especially, you know, in regards to the public transportation networks. You know. So this is something that we believe as developers, we would like everybody, all the key stakeholders, to come together and really be open-minded about things and really discuss, have really robust discussions.
So this morning on The Property Show, we are discussing the future of Kuala Lumpur, and we have Datuk Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, the chairman of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's KL chapter, as well as Malaysian Institute of Planners Advisory Council member Muhammad Jamil Ahmad in the studios. In a little while, we'll pick their brains about an event they are organising next week. That's the 2018 International Conference on World-Class Sustainable Cities. This is BFM 89.9. On The Property Show this morning, we have Malaysian Institute of Planners Advisory Council member Muhammad Jamil Ahmad, and from the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's KL chapter, its chairman, Datuk Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri. Now, Datuk Wan, the event your organizations are organizing, the 2018 International Conference on World-Class Sustainable Cities, what can we expect?
Well, in relation to what we discussed earlier, the new urban agenda, right? I think it's time that KL rethinks and revisits their plans moving forward. And this conference next week will address exactly that. You know, we're looking at transformation through urbanization, you know, which is basically something inevitable. I think by 2050, I think half of the world or more than half of the world will be living in cities. And KL has got to move in a direction where it has reached a crossroad,
okay,
we believe. It has to actually step back and rethink about moving forward, especially with the 2020-2040 plan.
Right.
Because the future of KL depends on a lot of stakeholder engagement.
Okay.
It depends a lot on the people. Because in KL alone, the migration or urbanization is putting a lot of intense pressure on KL, this KL infrastructure, as well as the housing. So these are things that needs to be addressed, and this will be addressed in this conference next week. We're looking at affordable housing, we're looking at transformation of the cities through urbanization by speakers that we have brought from Copenhagen, from Singapore.
Right? All very experienced.
Very experienced.
Now, the word sustainable also, it's quite a loaded word. What do you envision to come out from this edition of your WCSE, which is, I suppose, it's in its 10th year, right?
Yeah, it's in its 10th year. I think what we aspire is constructive dialogue moving forward, you know. I think in relation to the KL City Plan specifically.
Right.
So that...
That's something to look forward to.
To look forward to, yes. Because we have to do it right. The key word is it has to be well planned.
Okay.
And something that is to be well planned has to be really thought of really thoroughly and deeply. And everyone has got to be involved, all the key stakeholders. And in the new urban agenda, no one is left behind. So even the marginalized members of the society will be brought in into the discussion so that we, the city, will take care of everyone.
How effective have the last 9 sessions been?
Oh, it has been very effective. Like 3 or 4 years ago, we brought the mayor of Kaohsiung to the conference. And from that session or that conference, the River of Life was born.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a session where we brought in speakers from Australia, speakers who were talking about new models of affordable housing, which is now being explored. So a lot of the ideas that were discussed at the past conferences were actually adopted by DBKL and actually incorporated into their own plans.
Coming to you, Tuan Jamil, another one was talking about the River of Life project. It's a good initiative. Is it taking too long?
Not really, I think. Mm-hmm.
What are the challenges facing it?
Well, you see, River of Life, like any river project, for example, like the Singapore River project, it takes a long time. Because detailed planning has got to go into it, and you've got to plan the upstream, make sure that non-effluent factories, discharge. So it originated from the Ulu Gombak Forest Reserve.
Correct.
Right? And there are 4 biggest river basins. It's about 120 kilometers, so joined by 12. So as we see that a lot of things has got... What you see in KL is just maybe part of it.
Correct.
Right? So in order to ensure that the river support life, so that, so it has to do a lot of testing and planning, detailed planning.
So we are on track
it is on track.
Now, some of the take-home messages from the previous WCSEs have been, very well intended. We were looking at bicycle lanes, encouraging more city folk to cycle, the use of public transport, as well as, more green spaces, improving the waterways. How do you see all this translating into a city like KL, which is so set in its ways?
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Changing mindset so that people feel that they are in a world-class city will take time. Even Penang had this bicycle lane. They have a lot of teething problems. Let people park on the bicycle lane, but and such, you know. Public transport is the way to go because the model split now is almost 50-50. You should go for at least 70-30 to be a world-class city.
Mm.
That alone needs a lot of push factor to ensure an education so that the public will be, hopefully the younger generation will take in, you know, and behold, everybody plays their part. We plan, but then, you know, it's not enough because you just plan, we need to follow through.
Now, Dr. Wan, during these planning stages, I'm sure the problem of a glut in commercial spaces will definitely come up. How do you balance this with the interests of the members that you serve, the property developers?
To build more
commercial
spaces.
Yeah, but it's still happening though. I mean, we still see a lot of shopping malls closing down and
well, it's happening, but not in a sort of, you know, uncontrolled manner lah. I think it's not like every developer is doing it lah. There are only specific developers where it's their niche. And they've done their market study, mm-hmm. they've done the research, and they believe that they have got the ingredients to make it work. But generally, both malls and offices, there's a huge glut. So I wouldn't advise just any developer just to go and, you know, and just get onto the bandwagon. Now, those who are doing it they are very specialized in these areas. They've done it. It's their specialty. They know what they're doing. But if you actually talk to them, they are not. They're also pulling on the brakes, you know, because the incoming square footage, both commercial and both office and retail, is huge, you know, and the take up is, and looking at the current economic situation locally and globally, I think that asset class or segment will be moving a bit slower than the residential sector.
Earlier, Dato' Wan also talked about the urban poor and affordable housing. What's MIP's take on this?
Oh, definitely we support that housing should be made available and affordable to all sectors of the population. They need to have not just the housing, but with amenities, you know, to it. For example, like proper and open spaces and playing fields.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And we wish you all the best for your international conference on world-class sustainable cities next week. And this has been The Property Show. I have been speaking with Dato' Wan Hashimi Al-Bakri, the chairman of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's KL chapter, and Malaysian Institute of Planners Advisory Council member, Muhammad Jamil Ahmad. I'm Keith Kam, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.